verses 8 and verses 9. And look what he said. This people draweth nigh unto me with their what? Mouth. Look at that. And honors me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. You see that? That's the world today that we live in. Let's pray. Father in heaven, speak to me the truth of this word this morning about worship. And that we will set our mind where it needs to be, to open our hearts to receive, that our lives may be full and alive each and every day. And thank you for this service. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. When you think about today and you think about your life, what is the inner, what I call authentic, Godward experience of the heart? What is that Godward experience of the heart? Amen? Now, I don't know your heart. God does. I don't know what's running through your veins at this time other than blood itself. But what about the Spirit that is supposed to indwell us as Christians today? How strong is that relationship between you and God? Look what he said in that verse. The people draw nigh to me with their what? So in other words, you give me a whole lot of lip service, but that's all you're doing. A lot of people sitting in this room can give a whole lot of lip service, but it doesn't mean a thing unless you're living for the Lord. We can talk a good game. We can act the part. The question is this: are you really in a spiritual mood, as I can say, of worship when you come to church? Do you really come in to worship God, or do you really just come in to sit on the pew and look pretty, smile a little bit at the preacher, and say, I've had a good day? Let me tell you what, when you leave this place of worship, you should have a true worship experience in God's house. And you take that true worship experience of God with you no matter where you may go, so that people can understand that God is good. He's good all the time, and all the time God is good. But we have to express that through the lives that we're living. Jesus was living in a day and time. He just called these people what? He called them hypocrites. He called them everything else in the book you could think of. And Jesus was willing to say that. Why? Because he knew what their heart was. You're not right, he says. So he said, all you want to do is mouth your mouth and, you know, give me a lot of lip service. But then look at the next part. And honoreth me with your lips, he said, and their heart is far from me. Now, when you think about your heart today, you just let it beat, amen? Aren't you glad you woke up this morning and still doing this? Huh? We do it when it does that, and that's it, right? Every morning you get up, should you praise God and thank Him that you got another day? You got another heartbeat? You got another breath that you're going to take? Sure you should. But these people here, you said their heart was far from me. How many of you in this church right now, in this fellowship here, are close to God, and how many of you are far away from God? That's the question. I could ask every one of you individually, and everyone's going to say the same thing. I'm so close to God, you couldn't even squeeze in between us. Amen. I don't believe that. Because if you look at your life, you'll find out very quickly you're not as close as you think you are. Just because you come to church, just because you pray once in a while, just because you read the Bible once in a while, just because you get together in fellowship once in a while, doesn't mean that you're close to God. You can do that anywhere. If you're close to God, you don't miss one thing that God does in His church. In the relationship you build with Him, it should be stronger and stronger and stronger every day. You should be so close that nothing can get between you and God. But the problem is this: who gets between us and God? The devil. He loves to come in, and he loves to filter right in with us, and he loves to talk to us and share with us. And my friends, we have a better time listening to him than we listen to who? Than to God. We'd rather listen to him. Why? Because he paints a pretty picture over here. Well, God paints the prettiest picture of all. Have you ever looked at His picture that He paints for you every day? Have you ever looked outside to see the pretty pictures? The pretty grass, the trees, and everything else, the sky, the moon, the stars. Have you ever looked at it? Have you ever laid out when you were a small child and you tried to pick out the Milky Way, the North Star, and all that stuff, you know? It's pretty when you can do that. The fact is this: God's picture that He paints for us of this world, my friends, is better than anything that Satan can throw your way. But he makes things look pretty. Just like Eve, he said, everything looked good. In that day, God knows that you'll be just like him. And she fell for what? For the lie that he told her. We've got to get back to the basics, like we sang in that song a while ago, of where we should be living today. He said, they worship me in vain. It is important today that you and I take the truth of God's Word and drive the truth home right here. Right in this person that you are. Put it in your mind. Catch it in your heart. Love it. Take care of it. Share it with somebody. And tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. You see, you've got to have what I call the right mental attitude to be able to grasp what God has for you. And if your mind is far away from God, you can't grasp what God wants you to do. Because the problem is, we don't like to listen too well. Yeah, we can come to church for about a half hour and listen to the preaching of God's Word, and we can leave here and remember about that much. I always like Wednesday night service for those that don't come. Because I'll ask them on Wednesday night, what did I preach on Sunday? And they all look at you. Still ain't got it, amen. You know? The fact is, if you love the Lord, you'll try to do what? Try to remember something that touched you in a service. Something that spoke to you in the relationship with God. And to take that with you through the week that will get you through the week. Of course, we think about how worthy is he really? How about spiritual or being emotional spiritual? Huh? Have you ever cried because you dishonored God in some way? Have you ever really got down on your knees and said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I failed you? Then all of a sudden he puts his warm feeling over you and you feel good again. This is what God does. He helps us through the difficult times. But just like these individuals here, he said, look. He said, you beat your gums, you give me a lot of lip service, and then your heart's still not right. We live in a world today where you can get all the mouthing and lip service you want. And people's hearts aren't right with the word, with the Lord. And you say to yourself, well, why is that? Why are churches dwindling away today? I think I read an interesting article the other day, and as I was reading the article, it really hit home. You know, churches are not what they used to be. What? Huh? Amen? How about this group? They're not what they used to be. Why? Because worship is not centered in the church, and the love of Christ is not centered in the church. That's why churches are not what they used to be. There are too many activities outside the church that draw us away from the church. And I always like people to tell me, so, well, you know, I've got to get away. This what blows my mind. This blows my mind. I love it. You go on vacation, that's fine. I don't blame you. I think it's good for you and everything else. But I hate it when somebody says, I just got to get away. What in the world are you getting away from? Huh? What are you getting away from? Life? Life? What are you getting away from? That's my question to you. So when you leave church today, tell me what you're getting away from, because I'd sure like to know. Okay? All the mundane of life. I'm doing the same thing every day. I got to get up and go to work. I come home, I got to cook. I got to do this. I got to clean the house. I got to wash the clothes. It's the same old thing. But let me tell you what. You go on vacation, you're going to get up, you're going to cook, you're going to wash clothes, you're going to get a little bit dirty, you're going to get some sand in your shoes. You may go out and eat, then you'll say it's too expensive. You go buy food, and you still got to cook. Amen. So what have you gained in that whole situation? Huh? Tell me. What did you gain? I gained the thrill of going on a trip. I gained the thrill of traveling down the highway in my big mobile home. I blew a tire and tore the side of it up. I got there and I had a leak in the AC unit. I got there and something else happened to the truck and it didn't run. And before you leave to come back home, you spent about $5,000 or $6,000. You could have stayed home and you could tell me, I've got to get away. You should have stayed home in the first place. You see, that's what we do in life. We like to get away. You know? Bruce, I look at you laughing back there. I think you stuck your RV, didn't you, in the sand. Didn't you? You got away for a trip. You stuck your RV in the sand. And you had to pay somebody to get you out, right? Unexpected. But you had to get away. Sure we do. And that's life, isn't it? But that's what we do. We want to get away. Let's see what. Don't ever try to get away from God because he's always there whether you think so or not. He's right with you. He's there with you. He's loving you. He's taking care of you. And Jesus said it very plainly, but in vain they do worship me. He said, in other words, they got a zero effect about it because they aren't caring about what I'm saying. He said, you don't love me. You don't want to take care of your life that you're living today. He said, you got that zero effect. Zero effect. I don't like being called a zero. How about you? And then what he said, though, you go back and study, you'll find that out. And then he said they're teaching for doctrines. The doctrines and commands of what? Commandments of man, of men themselves. See, we can write a lot of stuff. We can have a lot of commandments. And, you know, we can write everything that we want to write. But let me tell you what, if it takes away from God, it ain't worth 2 cents, as far as I'm concerned. That's just plain English. It's not worth it. Because we need the Lord. That's okay. I understand. You can say amen anytime you want. All right. But the fact is, how are we living today? How are we living? Are we worthy to praise Him as the Bible teaches us? Do you delight in the Lord? Do you reverence the Lord? Do you understand the Lord? Do you care about the Lord? Do you call on the Lord? What are you doing in your life today? Well, look what he says here. He said, you are to worship me in spirit and in truth. And that is something that we need to take to heart. And you can read that in John. I'm going there in just a few minutes. But to look at what Jesus said, it should hit us right here. You're not living your life as you should because you're putting on that facade I just mentioned a minute ago. And you're covering up who you really are. Let me tell you what, if you love the Lord, express the Lord in your life today. Turn your heart to Him like you should. Now let's go to Exodus 34. How important is worship? You remember old Moses? Do you like Moses in the Bible? Huh? Remember Moses? What did he do? Huh? All right, he lived in Egypt for how long? 40 years. 40 years he had it made. Everything was going great. Life was good. 40 years. Man, he had everything. He could have been the next Pharaoh and all that kind of stuff, but he killed an Egyptian, and all of a sudden, his whole life changed. He had to leave. He ran to the backside of the desert called Midian. He met Jethro's daughter and married her. He spent 40 years there, boy, tending sheep, you know, stinky, old, nasty sheep. God humbled him as a shepherd. And then we know the story where he was out watching the sheep one day, and he saw this burning bush up in the hills, you know. And he said, I must turn aside to see what this bush is doing. He said, not being consumed. I tell you what, that bush, if I saw a bush like that, yeah, I'd turn aside too and see what's happening. Just like the rest of you. And as he walked upon the ground, Jesus, the Lord said, do not, you know, take off thy shoes, because this ground is holy ground which you're walking on. And then he told him what he needed to do, and he says, not me, Lord. I can't go down and talk to those people in Egypt. I can't do your bidding for you. And he continued on the same process. The Lord said, that's okay. You got Aaron, your brother. You got this one, you got that. You can do all these things you need to do. Then he finally went back and said, when he came off the mountain, that he had to have a veil on his face because he glowed. You know, when you're in the presence of God, guess what? You will glow. Even in church, my friends, if God's Spirit is on you, you will glow. There'll be a difference about you. Remember, I used to say, get the high pro glow, you know, like the dog does? You know, get God's glow in your life. Shine forth what God is doing for you in the relationship that you're building. This passage that I'm going to read to you, verses 5 and 8, say a whole lot. And I want you to listen very carefully to what it says. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by, it says, I like this part, before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression, he said, for sin, that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity, he said, the fathers upon the children, he said, upon the children and children, upon the what? Third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and cried. Amen. What does it say? He worshiped God on the mountain. Now, we know the story of the mountain. Let me give you a picture this morning. Maybe you can get a good picture here. If you were in that crowd that day, hundreds of thousands of them down there by the mountain, and your leader went up on the mountain to meet with God, and you're there standing down there and you're gazing up there on that mountain, and boy, it's thundering, it's lightning, dark clouds have come in, would you have done something besides try to make a golden calf to worship? Huh? Would you have backed off from that mountain because you weren't supposed to touch it anyway and start to praise God for who He was? They should have been down there praying and fasting for 40 days.
They should have been seeking God during that time. But no, what they had to do, they had to go and say, oh, we need to make to us an image that we can have something that we can touch, that we can see, we can taste, we can feel, we can smell, whatever. He said, we need something that we can really worship here. You know? God was on the mountain. They were into that. God was showing all of His glory up there, it says, on that mountain. And while He was on that mountain, what did Moses do? Moses fell down and worshipped Him. Those people in the valley down there should have been doing the same thing. They should have been on that face before God, worshiping God, and not trying to make something that they didn't need because they already had everything they needed. They had the true and living God. But they walked away from Him. They decided, we need better. Somebody tell me what's better than God? I can tell you what, nothing. There is nothing better than God Himself and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things real quick. Aspects of worship. What is the aspect of worship? Worship, you know, is two words, right? Worth and ship, right? He is worthy to be praised. That's what the Bible says. He is worthy to be praised. We are to praise Him for who He is. The Lord descended in the cloud. Several years ago, we were here, and I can't remember what was going on, but I think it was around Easter time or something. And I hit the pulpit real hard. I went, wham, you know, about the cross coming down. And all of a sudden, the building went, boom. Just like that. How many of y'all were here when that happened? Huh? You remember that? Yeah, I think some of y'all ran away, didn't you? Okay. What happened? I said, God was letting us know. Yeah, I'm here. You see, when God shows up, man doesn't need to run away. Man needs to be steadfast, and man needs to stand his ground, and man needs to worship God. So this aspect of worship we talk about is the fact that He is worthy to be praised, that He was the one that came. He's the one that Moses talked to. He's the one that Moses bowed down to. He's the one that Moses looked up to. He's the one that God gave the Ten Commandments to and talked to him. And then He said, oh, wow, you better go back. The people are corrupt. Had a problem. They weren't too concerned about the aspect of worship. Just like when we come to church. How many of us are concerned about the worship service? God is worthy to be praised every single day. Verses 6 and 8 say, the Lord passed by before Him, proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, and I like this word, long-suffering, patient, and abundant in goodness and in truth. How can you beat that? This is God who's all this to us. And Moses was there watching it, keeping mercy, set up for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression of sins, that will be no means clear, and setting guilt of the guilty, he said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon children, children, third and fourth generations. He said, I am here with you day after day after day to help you through life. But then all of a sudden, there was something that stood out here in verse 8. And Moses made haste. In other words, he got in a hurry. Huh? It's like when church ends. Y'all get in a hurry to depart this place for the next restaurant. Amen. I don't want to get in your line because I know I'll be stampeding when you leave here. That's true. Then y'all take out of here like a bunch of horses, boy. Just gone, you know. Go to the parking lot. When it's time to go, I leave here. When I get to the parking lot, I don't think there's anybody in there. Maybe one car or two cars. You know, I'm surprised there ain't black marks on the highway where you took off. Big hair. Do you ever make haste? Do you ever really get involved with coming into church and just really dropping on your face before God? Bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped God, it says. He got right down prostrate before God. He worshiped God. He turned his heart around. So that aspect of worship is to really look at Him and to bow before Him in the relationship. The second thing is this, the aspiration for worship. Wow. Okay. This is what I think is very interesting about church. And I'm not afraid to say this either. Often the services are ill-prepared. They're mechanical. The same routine. Over and over and over. Sometimes they get dull. to get to the point of, well, you know, I came today, that was it, you know, I'm going home. God's church should be a church of excitement, of unity, of love and togetherness in the body of Christ. Worship is not just coming to church. Worship is drawing on the power of God while you're in the service, so that you, as an individual, can leave here powered up and not drawn down. You know what I'm saying? We need to be in the right relationship with God when we leave this church, like you never were when you came through the door. It's amazing when I watch you come in on Sunday mornings, you know. We have this tendency to come in, our head hung down, we look like we've both, you know, been beat up by six people, you know, or been on a binge overnight. I don't know what it is, you know. I had to get up at 9 o'clock this morning to come to church at 10. I had to get up at 10 to make it by 11, but I was still late by 5 minutes. Why is it that we cannot honor God, reverence God, and be on time for God? God is always on time for us. I got a grandson going to community college this year in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It's going to be interesting because he couldn't even hardly get up and go to school. I don't know how he's going to get up and go to college when dad ain't there. I told Fred, I said, Fred, why don't you put a monitor system in there? You keep an eye on him and wake him up every day. Yeah? But that's us, right? We don't think about time, do we? How many of y'all set the clocks on Sunday morning? I do. I got to get out early. I got to get ready, you know. Got to come to church, you know, get things going, you know. How many of y'all sleep in on Sunday? Come on, raise your hands. Come on, don't be afraid. 8 o'clock? 8:30? 9? 10? Quarter till? Huh? I got 15 minutes, honey. Let's go. I still got to get my hair straight. It's wet. Oh, it's white. You know, that's us. That's us. Can't make it on time, but I guarantee you tomorrow morning when it's time to go to work, you're going to be up at 5 o'clock. You're going to be ready by 6. You're going to be on the road. You're going to be sitting in your office, wherever you're going to be, and you're going to be looking all pretty because you got it all done, going down the highway doing this. You know, combing the hair. Yeah. And don't tell me you don't do it because I see it. That's us. But we never think about God's time, the aspect of worship, the aspiration of worship, of getting right in there and doing what God says. Then there's something else that stands out to me too. And I'll finish right here. It's called the act of worship. There's prayer. There's praise. There's listening. And there's serving. There's giving. And there's personal study of God's Word. Now I can stay on all these words for the rest of the day if you'd like to. You ever think about your prayer life? Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Be in that reverence of time. Do you ever thank God for the praises that you see? When He's took somebody's life to accept Christ, or somebody's healed from whatever they have. Do you think about listening? You know, we're bad about that, you know. I told you this before. That's why you got so many commercials on TV. Because their attention span is about 8 minutes. You get about 5, and you go eat for about, you know, 10. You can come back to the show. It's just starting again. You know, that's what they do. Why? Because our attention span is so bad. We don't listen like we should. Do we serve like we should in the church? I got a lot of vacancies, you know, on my listing for our committees, right? So if you feel like volunteering for something, just come to me and I'll stick you somewhere. You know, that's what we do. You know, the fact is this. You got to be willing to serve whether you got a committee or not. You need to be willing to serve because you love Jesus. And you want to serve Him. And then it's something else here. John 5:39 said, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said, if you testify of me, it means that you have what you say you have. Your life reflects that you have what you say you have. And then last of all, it's this. The bottom line is, what about you? Have you seen His worship? Have you really worshipped Him? Have you bowed down to Him lately? Confessed your sin in the life that you have? Well, let me leave you with three things this morning. You can't remember them, write them down. True worship is what I call a transformation in our lives. Two things here, real quick. You're either going to transform your life or you're going to be conformed to the world out there. Two things. Are you a conformer or you're a transformer? Where are you at right now? Second thing. Worship allows what? Resisting the pressures without. The pressures of the world pulling you away from Jesus. Get away from that. Let the Spirit draw you unto Him. And the third thing is this. True worship of life is serving Him, His Word, faithfully. Faithfully serving God daily. So three things. Are you worshiping Him like you should? As I just said, have you been transformed in your life? Have you also resisted the pressure from this world we live in? And on top of that, are you willing to serve Him faithfully? When you come to church, my friends, you come to worship. You come to praise and glorify His name. I'm not here to worship you or anything in this church, but God Almighty. Bottom line. And when we leave here, we need to take that worship with us to a lost, dying, and sinful world that needs Jesus now more than they ever have before, because we are living in the last days. Jesus is alive, and Jesus is well, and He will forever be Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray.